So, again, the only other ones that really counted much, which one do you want to talk about next? Do you want to go chronological or?
Let's just talk about Punk Jericho because.
Okay. So we're working our way up in order of importance then.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, well,
and with the other
we're going to build. We're going to
with the other indie superhero.
Things like
Punk who made it to the mainstream.
To me, think matches like Kane Orton, Big Show Cena, Big Show Cody, the women's match that they just fall into what we talked about. They didn't really matter going in.
Well, the Big Show does now has held every active WWE title, Kyle Ross.
And no one gives a damn about that. It's just something to say, okay? Let's go to Punk Jericho.
Okay.
Because I don't think there's a ton of... I liked this. Well, here's why I want to talk about this. Because I want to be more positive because then I'm going to be critical. I want to inject a little positivity into this, okay? Because I think this is kind of sticking with Brian. I liked this match, I think, more than most people did.
You liked it more than I did.
I thought it was like a 4-star match.
But see, the idealist that I am, these guys, to me, the floor should have been 4.5 stars. These guys should have had one of the greatest build-ups. I thought the build-up for this thing was a lot flatter than it should have been.
I did too.
The pedestal that I put Punk and Jericho on, we were hearing before, as soon as it became clear that these were going to be the two guys going, everybody was like, oh my God. These guys, with their creative minds and their input in this, this will be one of the greatest title match build-ups
in
history.
Did you think that was going to happen?
I thought the potential was there.
See, here's
really,
you're talking idealistically.
And it was a diluted build-up.
You're talking about idealistically. I'm going to talk realistically here. I thought Punk actually, and somebody brought this up. It may have been the Melts or something like that, but. I think Punk actually made a mistake in that promo when he talked about how this could be the greatest match of all time. I think that was a mistake. God bless his soul.
He was only saying what we expected, though.
Yeah. Now, could it be? Yes.
I respect his competitive spirit for saying that.
I do, too. But given that this was third from the top in terms of importance... I did not even believe that going this would be the best match of the night. And I guess maybe that's where we differ here, that our expectations were different.
Yeah.
I was, to be honest, now was this as good as it could have been? No.
Four stars says it all there, because this could have been 5. These guys can give you 5.
5, really? That's high.
They can give you...
Everything's got to be right. 5 stars, I don't give those out a lot. Right
You're now. Questioning whether Punk and Jericho together working at their best... On the perfect night to give you 5?
That's a perfect... Let me tell you something.
Jericho's a better worker, is he not, than Cena, and Punk got 5 stars out of Cena last summer.
But you know what?
Atmosphere was a lot of that.
Okay.
Let me
just frame, when you say 5-star match, let me put something in perspective here. In the history of this company, I'm not trying to say like I'm some cool guy or something, the MLB all. I've given 10 matches in the history of this company 5 stars.
But what I'm saying is there's such a select list of guys... Where you say, this guy and this guy can give you 5 stars.
Here's the thing.
And they're two of the guys.
You can't predict a 5-star match. You can't. What's funny is, here's the problem.
You can be idealistic and hope for it.
The only time that I can remember, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong and cite another example, the only time that I've ever remembered them booking a 5-star match.
Yeah.
Basically, with the build being like, this will be the greatest professional wrestling match ever, and then delivering, was the Flair Steamboat series.
True.
And that was two unreal performers getting the platform.
True.
These guys were not going to get the platform they needed to do 5 stars.
I did see a 5-star match at the Masonic Auditorium in Cleveland some years ago. Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn at a house show. ECW house show.
Yes.
Five-star match.
ECW again.
Lynn and RVD could give you that on any given
and
night.
What did they do? They were given a platform to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when like that, like I remember like the classic example I always think of when you're just being, this is such a great match, what you're watching, and it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, this Punk Jericho, and I thought I was going to be positive here,
mm-hmm.
but... was much better than the match I'm about to mention, was Shawn Michaels' Mr. Perfect from SummerSlam 93.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that match? It was billed as, this is going to be the greatest intercontinental title match of all time. And on paper going in, the build was pretty good. okay, remember Perfect cost Michaels the match against Jannetty, and he wins it back, whatever. And it's like, that had a lot more momentum, I think, going in than even this Punk Jericho match.
That had to be very confusing in a pre-smart time for people, because, like, your average Mark fan would be like, Mr. Perfect and Shawn Michaels, what's so damn great about that?
Well, see, I disagree. I don't think
the average mouth-breathing
I think that's what made it so disappointing. I think your average Tom, Dick, and Harry were expecting a great match.
I think the average fan was probably scratching their heads saying, I don't know why they would say these guys are so great.
Oh,
I'd rather see a 350-pound guy in there.
And not in 93, maybe in 87, but not in 93.
All right. It was starting to
smarten
up.
But my whole point is that when you set the bar so high and aren't prepared to give them the necessary platform, you're setting yourself up for failure, and I think that's
why... They got 22 or 23 minutes, so who are you faulting here? I'm going to put it on Punk and Jericho.
They did get off to a bit of a slow start, some people said.
Yeah, that's true.
But I enjoyed this. And here's an interesting point that I want to make. Buddy of mine, I'll give him a shout-out, Mike Johnson. Okay, not a man who makes it any kind of point to watch wrestling on a weekly or monthly basis.
Is it the same guy that writes for a PWI?
No, it's not. No. That's a better-looking individual, too, I could say. But my buddy, as a matter of fact, I take that back. He had come over and watched that disappointing SummerSlam they did last year. But I think he did just because he was bored. He's like, yeah, you know, I've been working a lot. So whatever, I don't want to go over this guy's life. But I mean, you know, he's like, you know, I've kind of missed the old days when me, you, and Josh would watch a wrestling pay-per-view. Let's just do it. He was just in the mood to do that. Like, he didn't know what he was going to watch.
Can we get some in-depth reminiscing on days gone by?
No, unfortunately we can't. Thank you very much. That book has been sealed. But
Judge Stone.
Yeah. But he knew what the top match was here and the top two. Like, he knew what he was watching. He is the standard guy that wanted to watch the show because The Rock was coming back, okay? And why I'm going into this long soliloquy and bringing this individual up is not just because he's a friend, but he said during this match, and it was very interesting because it'll be even more interesting when we talk about the next match.
Okay.
It's like, you know, it's like, let's see him, because this brings to your point about you need to hook those kind of people, the Mike Johnson of the world, into the current crew. Do you know what he says in the middle of the match?
What?
And trust, this was not an academic wrestling crowd, okay? This is not a guy who goes on the, this is not a guy who even knows what, you know, who Dave Meltzer is. He doesn't know Dave Meltzer from Daniel, you know, Davy Crockett. He doesn't know, you know, what F4WOnline.com means. If you told him, he'd be like, what is that?
Okay.
Do you know what he says to me in the middle of this Punk Jericho match? He's like, you know, this CM Punk, and he remembered him from the previous summer at SummerSlam. He's like, this guy's a pretty good wrestler. He's like, I think I like this guy.
Well,
and they had, I think, under the conditions, a fine match. I'm going to tell you something right now, and this is going to, because I really don't have anything else to say about this match. Mm-hmm. I was glad Punk won. I don't think that the gap between this match and Triple H Undertaker was that much, particularly given the platforms they were given. To me, can we transition? Did you have something to say?
No, that's
fine. I want to transition into end of an era.
That's fine. The only thing I want to say is just to reinforce the point about Punk and what your friend Mike had to say about him. I think his observation backs up what I've always said, as far as it's the company that overthinks things, not the smart fans. The company draws these lines between these are the people that appeal to the internet geeks and these are the people that appeal to the masses.
Yes.
They're overthinking it. CM Punk can appeal to everybody. Daniel Bryan can appeal to everybody.
Yeah, talent will always break down these barriers.
That's what I'm saying.
And see, that's why I want you to be careful when you're talking.
It's the danger in pigeonholing.
See, here's the thing.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of wanted to caution you and was raising my eye, not the people's eyebrow, just my eyebrow at you when you were
later in the night.
You were calling, you know, your Dolph Ziggler's very good. Because, see... But I'll tell you, remind me off air to tell you what I'm not going to say on this podcast.
Okay.
I was actually going to channel Stephen A. Smith and an argument he made that you would completely agree with.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that some other time for this podcast.
Because,
will this train come off the tracks.
All right.
Smart marks need to be careful about what cause they champion. You can't just start beating the drum for everybody.
I don't think I'm being indiscriminate in championing the greatness of Dolph Ziggler.
He is not at
He's come a long, long way.
Okay, but he's not at the level of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
No, he's not, but he's like next level.
Yeah, but there's a huge divide.
I don't
to me, right now, if you're a smart mark trying to shatter that glass ceiling, and
you
need to just focus all your efforts on CM Punk and Daniel Bryan.
Because
you can't have everyone break through at once.
I think the divide between...
And Punk has broken through somewhat, and Bryan, I think, is going to. But there's still not... Punk, I think, is a made guy.
Yeah.
Bryan is certainly not. But here's the thing that... I don't know how I got started on this, but... Punk, okay, with the talent exceeds, and with their perceptions of guys.
Yes.
CM Punk is the most talented guy on the roster.
Yes.
He is the, to me, not based on, I'm not saying that he should be this dominant world champion face of the company, because there are some legitimate concerns from a business perspective of Punk.
When you
send him to do these media things, he tends to not talk about wrestling, okay? He wants to talk about, you know, some Rancid album from 20 years ago, okay? All right, I mean, that's not the best.
But he's not good at staying on message, okay.
Yeah, I mean, John Cena, as much as he's not a great worker, is good as a face of the company. You know, I've come to accept that, but...
Yeah, but that hinders him as a babyface connecting with the crowd, because he is a corporate robot. And Punk
Agreed.
Is respected for being a renegade.
Well, we'll talk about
that.
And that's why their dynamic works so well against one another.
Right, right.
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, Cena needs to get probably a little more credit than he did for that match in Chicago.
Right.
You know, he was the perfect opponent for CM Punk that night, last summer.
Yeah.
But, CM Punk is a guy who I think is... I think this is an inarguable point. I don't know who would disagree with me. CM Punk, I guess, just to put an exclamation point on this soliloquy, CM Punk is still far more talented than what they still think of him.
Absolutely.
And I think that they don't realize how much people realize that.
Right.
Like, I mean, if my buddy Mike Johnson, who drops in maybe once a year to watch a wrestling pay-per-view, can... after 15, 20 minutes goes, you know, this guy's pretty good.
Right.
And he had seen him before. He was like, oh, I think I've seen this guy. You know, I've liked what I've seen from him. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the kind of perfect thing. So he's a guy that, and he's going to be, because he's crossed that threshold with his latest contract of things, but he still doesn't get the credit he deserves, and he didn't get the platform he deserved here against Jericho. But given the platform he was given, I thought this was a damn fine match.
Yeah.
And I don't think, and I'll be honest with you, granted, I'm a little biased. I like these two guys more than the Triple H Taker, even though Triple H and Taker did phenomenal jobs in their build-up, because they were given a much better platform. And
they were.
There's a lot of history involved there that Punk and Jericho don't have, you know, history of them being in the company, obviously. But to me, it's kind of funny. When you talk about being disappointed.
Yeah.
I was more disappointed in Triple H Undertaker than I was Punk Jericho.
I wasn't, because of my expectations. And
see,
it's a thing.
My expectations for Triple H Taker is it had to be over the top. Like, some people were very high, because given it's about the platform you're given. Triple H, do we transition now?
Yeah, yeah.
Triple H and Undertaker were given a monster platform that, I'll be honest with you, you have to suck really bad not to have a good match, given the platform. I mean, you have to be awful. I mean, I can't think of any conceivable combination of wrestlers that would have a bad match in the platform they were given. Now, given their names, their history, the perception, the way they're perceived, the level of star they're perceived at, that helps, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, obviously... you can have a very average match. They're going to have, because of who they are, a better match in that platform than Joe Blow versus, you know, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But that said, I didn't think this was as good as last year's.
Okay.
My problem was, too, and see, this is where I did kind of get a little... with, again, you and I talked about this, I think, in our preview, that I wanted the PG to be... kind of ignored for this match, and I think it was. You know, they did the hard way bleeding, and it's not. Again, it goes back to kind of what we started about. It's not sane. It's not healthy. But given the limited schedule, these two,
right?
I think it's okay. You know,
I didn't want to see chair shots to the head, anything other than that,
but
I agree.
Chair shots to the back are pretty brutal, man. I mean, these guys weren't feeling too good. I bet the next morning.
No, exactly.
Right.
And I wanted to see. You know, I'm with you on the blood. Let's see some blood.
Given their light schedules, these are not guys who are going to be on the road every night,
right?
For one night, they could kind of thumb their noses at the
PG. They started off slow.
They did. But here's the thing.
But beyond that, I thought it was fine. I thought it was just fine. I mean, it was, the first couple minutes, I was like, when are they going to get going? And, yeah, there was some crappy overacting, you know, from Shawn Michaels.
I'm going to tell you, and you know me. I'm the biggest Shawn Michaels fan ever.
Yeah.
I hated his participation in this match. The only thing that was cool was that spot with him doing the sweet chin music into the pedigree to get a near fall.
That was amazing. And they actually had me at that point.
Yeah, and that's
they had a lot of us.
It was not quite as good as Triple H doing the Tombstone the previous year.
Right.
And let me just say one thing. This match was not as good as – I don't know if did I already say this?
Yeah,
I forgot.
And I agree.
This match was not as good as the WrestleMania 27.
Although, you know, no, I don't agree. I thought this one was a little better.
Really?
I did.
I just don't. I thought –
They didn't really use the Hell in the Cell, though, and as was pointed out, the only purpose it seemed to serve was shielding the crowd from the weapons once they would get thrown away. That was it.
And I don't know. And here's the thing. You'd think, again, not to give this guy any more airtime than he deserves, but my buddy Mike Johnson, you'd think he's the kind of guy from the WWE that, this is what he came back to see.
Well, he's like our focus group of, like, the casual fans, so I'm interested to hear this. Yeah. And that's why I'm very heartened that he liked CM Punk.
He liked that match better than this match.
Okay.
I didn't. Okay, he did. You'd think it's totally reversed. Like, I'd be so desperate to, like, nitpick the one and, you know, overpraise the Punk Jericho.
Okay.
Maybe I am still, I mean, given the last 10 minutes of my rambling. But I thought they were very close. He thought Punk Jericho was better. He thought there was a lot of, he thought it was slow, like, a lot of people, like, love the drama, the slow build. He thought it was annoying.
Okay.
And maybe he kind of negatively influenced me, but he did not, like, and my other, you know, I got another, my old roommate, Josh, I don't know if you ever met him. He's kind of like that in-between level. Like, he knows more than probably any right-minded person should about the greatest sport of them all. But, you know, he does not subscribe to the Wrestling Observer newsletter. But
okay.
He's always got a good finger on the pulse of these things. He's not just a casual fan. He watches Raw every week. But the crew I was with was not as impressed with this as it seems even a lot of people on the net were, and that's surprising. This was a match that you'd think would appeal to that casual fan.
Well, not only
that. And my crew that I watched this with, and again, you know, some people are influenced, you know, but, you know, these are not, a couple of the guys were there, they don't know CM Punk. They don't know that I, you know, in 2003, you know, 2004, before I ever did wrestling podcasts, when I watched him in Ring of Honor initially, thought, oh, my God, this guy could be a huge star if he's given the right platform. They didn't know my opinion. I wasn't like, oh, you guys got to watch this CM Punk. He's so good, and you better like him. Otherwise, you know, I'm not.
That's what I brainwash people like that.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I'm not passing you this the rest of the show. But, there was none of that going on.
That's not an idle threat.
No. But they did it. I thought, and, you know, again, I like to watch things again. I thought, here's the thing. I genuinely think rematches tend to be a little bit weaker than the predecessor usually.
That's why they loaded it up with all the accoutrements. Hell in the Cell, Shawn Michaels, and Baka! Kiki's got the sledgehammer!
Yes. Which makes it disappointing that this wasn't better. Because given the platform, given the Hell in the Cell, the involvement of Michaels, this should have been better than last year, and if you thought it was, then God bless you.
See, I think the accoutrements put it over the top from last year. Atmospherics.
I thought that it was, they relied too heavily on it. Now, I'm not going to go, my good old Bob Sacamano, Chad Reback, while he enjoys these kind of matches, anyone would. It's a very good, I'd give this match 4.25.
4.25, okay.
It's a top 20 WrestleMania match.
Okay.
But it's, you know, some people, you know, top 10, you know, I saw your buddy, your boy, was like top 5 ever. No, that's preposterous. Okay, that's preposterous.
You lumping me in with boat shoes?
Yeah, okay. To call this a top 5 WrestleMania match ever is buffoonery.
I would certainly agree with
that.
The thing I will say about Belfie is that he is prone,
prisoner of the moment type stuff.
He's very knee-jerk on things. Years ago, when we were doing the shows there. Yeah,
God bless him. He could watch again. Like, you know what? I probably overrated the time. So, God, I'm not going to put
You know what it always was, too? And I remember, because there would be times, sometimes I would come in and sit on SNS, and sometimes he would, too. I just remember times when we would all be breaking out a post-game, and it was, like, as harsh as you and I and little guy and anybody might be, he was always a little more forgiving than us, too, if you remember that.
Yeah,
he was always a little
more.
Yeah,
well, who knows? I mean, he maybe that has some business, whatever.
No. I mean, I'll say this for him. There are things that he does, advocates against business.
Hi,
frankly.
Paul. By the way, hi, Paul. How you doing?
Hi, Paul. I mean, I will, of all the things, I will give Belfi credit for that, because there are times where you would expect him to be like, "Oh, I got to kiss their ass. I'm doing trying to do business with them now," and where he might be better served in not criticizing their product,
okay.
And he just can't help himself.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
But he's naturally more optimistic about the product than you and I are.
Okay. Well, anyway, I thought that if you strip away the accoutrements,
yeah.
You don't have a lot here. I mean, Grant, you could say last year was a lot of kicking out of finishers, too. But anyway, my buddy Chad Repack.
Yeah.
Will always tell you, and it brings to the point I said before, who couldn't have a bet? Now, again, because they're stars, they're going to be better than the average Joe Blow.
Isn't that overthinking it?
No.
No, it's not anybody on the card that could have put on a match as good as these two guys.
No,
so
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying anyone. If you're doing, like, kicking out of finishers, all Japanish stuff, weapon use, and the match isn't good, then you suck, okay? Like, there is a certain level of quality.
But, see, I think, like, 3.5 stars is the floor, and they were above the floor, so give them credit.
You're taking the words out of my mouth.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. But if you are creating an environment where the floor is 3.5 stars,
yeah,
then you're getting a very advantageous environment. And to me, the level, if the floor is 3.5 stars,
yeah,
it was a very good match. They certainly exceeded, but they only exceeded it because of who they are and the stage they were on.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think, and the Michaels involvement was, I thought, hurt the match. I actually thought
there was intrigue to him getting choked out by the Undertaker, because it was kind of like, okay, where are they going with this now?
I thought it didn't lead anywhere. I thought it was stupid. How about that for commentary?
Well,
I'm going to tell you something right now.
It made me think a little. Okay, where are they going with this?
Yeah, well, they didn't go anywhere with it. But if it doesn't go anywhere, they just wasted your time and your thoughts. Here's my thing. I'm going to say the unthinkable.
Yeah.
I thought Shawn Michaels made this a worse match than last year.
I didn't, but I thought that it was.
I'm in the minority.
Kind of the thing I will say too,
he had the one good spot, but other than that, it just kept focusing. Oh, what do I do? And it's like, just effing rep the match, dog. Stop making these faces.
I'm with you on being a big Shawn Michaels mark in general, but I will point back through the history of his career. When called upon to act or convey whatever.
I mean, these guys aren't great actors. Typically a very good. I mean, no one here is going to win an Oscar.
He's a first ballot Hall of Fame talent. He's overrated as an actor in a given situation.
I disagree.
Degenerate era Shawn was great because he was letting his true prick, drug-addled self come through at that time.
That's nice.
I mean, he just when it's not part of himself shining through, he's just not very good at conveying
something that's not true. Okay, well, let me tell you something.
But he gets credit for being great at that, and I don't see him. That's not a put-down.
Let me give you a perfect example.
He's awesome.
Let me give you an example of Shawn Michaels, same role, being way better.
Okay.
If you want to see a match where Shawn Michaels completely added to a match as a special guest referee, do yourself a favor, kids.
Yeah.
Put on a tape of a little SummerSlam 97 when he was the referee for that Bret Hart Undertaker. The ending of that match, and it's a good match, but you know I always talk about how a match can be really ruined or made by the finish?
Right.
I have never seen a match that was, and it was a pretty good match.
Right.
That was like a It was over a 3-star match. It was it was your standard Bret Undertaker affair.
Right.
But it was way enhanced. You remember the ending of that, right?
Yeah.
That was arguably one of the most brilliantly booked endings ever, because for those who weren't around during that period, what they did was they had set up a match where Shawn and Bret had the heat was kind of between them. The Undertaker was the champion, and him and Bret, there wasn't a ton of heat. It was Bret going for his title.
It was the Roxina Miz of the day.
Well, that's not fair. Undertaker was much more important than the Miz.
Yeah.
But, and they had built in this storyline that if Bret lost, he would never wrestle in the United States of America anymore. And no one believed. So basically, it was funny that Okay.
But that if Sean screwed
hold on.
Him.
Okay. So with that storyline, any right-minded, reasonable person is like, okay, Brett's obviously winning. They're not going to have him not wrestle the United States again. Now, of course, today what they do is they'd have him lose and then completely renege on the stipulation.
Right.
Okay, but that's
I had my fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah. But so they added Michaels to it, and he had a stipulation where he couldn't. See, I was intrigued from a smart mark perspective so much going into this match.
Right.
Because how they were going to do it. And this is when they did real creative finishes during that time period. Again, I thought I liked the Hell in a Cell finish, Michaels and Undertaker. But they painted themselves into a corner where if Michaels favored Brett, or if Michaels favored the Undertaker in the match at all and tried helping him to beat Brett, he couldn't wrestle. So you know that that could happen. So, okay, as the smart mark, and you're trying to do a little fancy, you're like, okay, well, this is crazy because Shawn's going to have to basically. You know, Brett's going to win the belt, obviously.
Right.
It made sense for him to win at that point. He was really over.
Right.
And Shawn's going to count the three. How are they going to do that? And they did that brilliant finish where Shawn and Brett started arguing, and Shawn said, ah, screw this, I'm going to hit him with a chair. And he swung, and he missed, and he hit the Undertaker. And I'm bringing this back because his acting was marvelous. And from what the bar and the benchmark is in wrestling acting, if you remember, go ahead and watch that ending.
I've seen it.
It was, he curses into the, you know, well, why did I do that in front when no one can watch? But he curses, you know, he basically said the S word. I'm trying to watch my language here for your
thank
thing
you.
Here.
Appreciate
okay.
It.
And he gets, and they're like, the announcer, like, he has to count. Remember, he can't not count. And he does that one, two, and he like looks in Brett's eyes and he's like, God bless it. I've got to get three. And he just walks off in disgust. Watch that finish.
But here's, I guess you're making my point for me.
I am?
Yes, you are, and I'll tell you why. Because it came from a real place. Shawn hated Brett.
Oh,
Shawn
okay,
was
yeah,
making
so what you
Brett
said,
the champion.
You're right, you're right.
That was only half acting. Shawn was forced to count to make Brett the champion.
Okay, you're right.
And that's the whole thing.
See, but
Shawn, as an actor disconnected,
yes.
When his
okay,
real
you're
place
right.
is disconnected,
you're right. You're
people
right.
think he's a great actor regardless.
No.
Shawn's great at channeling something that's real.
That's true for all wrestlers. That's true for all wrestlers.
But he gets a reputation as a universal great actor,
no,
and he's not.
No wrestler is.
No. And this is not a put-down of Shawn.
No.
First ballot Hall of Famer and great as an actor when there's
maybe
real emotion.
Yeah. Him and Ric Flair are by far the two best in-ring performers ever, but here's the thing. They just added him. It was the typical WrestleMania thing when it's like, well, he's a big star and he's got history with these guys, so his involvement.
It was a hook, like Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, but his involvement didn't add. His involvement to this was very indicative of this match. It was, let's put a lot of sizzle and parlor tricks around this match. You know, okay, Shawn's the ref. That's good. Let's involve. He didn't add anything to
and
it.
All
and he not only did he, here's my problem with this, and where I disagree, I think, with people. Not only did Shawn not well, he added the one spot, but not only did he not really add anything other than that, I thought he took away from the match.
Well, and
compared
all,
to last year.
I thought it was a net plus, but maybe not a huge one. But the only thing he'll be remembered for, we always talk about how these things go down in the history books. At the end of the day, all anybody will remember as regards his participation in the match, curtain call 2K12 at the end, when it was him, Taker, and Triple H
with a big
group hug at the
be
top of the stage.
With a little kayfabe Kyle here, I don't know if I liked that.
Yeah.
Given the build-up, I don't know if I liked that, that they did that.
I don't.
Because the match was so vicious. I mean, it was kind of a cool moment, and I'm not, hating on it, but it just made it, what you just watched seem even less authentic.
Well, here's the thing, because you're looking at it from a different way than I am. To you, it's looking like when they're up there, Mark and Paul taking a bow at the end of the play. That's what it looked like to you, right? That it was like, we're going to break kayfabe, where the men behind the characters are being saluted by the crowd. Here's how I looked at it. Maybe I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. I liked, to a certain
fortune
extent.
Fortune feed!
Yeah. I liked the
I did
whole,
like the inclusion of that song, by the way.
Yeah,
I was singing it endlessly during the whole thing. Fortune feed!
Yeah. See, I like, and you got to be careful with working in the MMA stuff, but I like the culture of warriors on the battlefield you know, at the end of it, hard fought. We gave the battle of our lives, dag nabbit. This is, we left it all on the field. No two other men on God's green earth could have fought and exchanged no quarter as we did. I looked at it that way. It's interesting that you looked at it like two guys taking a bow at the end of a community theater show.
Yes.
There's different prisms for looking at this.
Because here's
through.
The thing.
Yeah.
If it was one of those things where they went in with this, there wasn't that mutual. This was not a match born out of mutual respect, really. I didn't view it. Maybe I just read.
But that's how it started last year, though. Yeah. We're the only two left.
Yeah.
Last of a kind, last of the breed.
Yeah, I guess.
To a certain extent, that was an undertone.
Okay.
Now, there was more hatred this year because of what came out of last year.
Yeah.
But to me, it was going full circle. It was a return to the respect from whence it
sprung. Yeah, but they were trying to, like, kill the... I don't know. They were trying to, like, just destroy it.
Well, that's true, too. The fact that Triple H...
I mean, they were really...
Know,
I mean, to me...
Sledgehammer shot to the head.
Yeah, I mean, they were doing those spots, and then it was kind of like,
okay,
it's over, and by God, I tried to kill you, but now I...
There seemed
to be a bit of a leap of faith in there.
Yeah, that's a disconnect.
And Sean was just confusing, and I didn't...
I got nothing on that part. It's a disconnect, because, and they were selling it like... Sledgehammer shot to the skull. He would have killed him. He tried to kill him.
Yes,
you're right.
This match was, it was this match. They were during the whole build of during the actual match while it was going on. They were selling this like these men detest each other. These men want to just absolutely destroy it, like leave the other guy laying. And then all of a sudden it was like, you know, by God, we try to leave each other laying, but let's have a hug.
But the psychology of this is fascinating, because I take even that to be the heat of the battle. It became personal. It's probably not going to stay personal. And if I want to get your really cheesy kayfabe perspective, if The Undertaker's the guy who, I think they indicated the Undertaker didn't see that Triple H was going to try and brain him with a sledgehammer. But anyways, let's say that he had seen that. You could always play it like, okay, well, the attempted murder victim won the match. He got his revenge.
Yeah.
Who are we to, if he wants to forgive and forget, I don't know. But that's...
It's very good. I think a fringe top 20 match.
But best of the card?
Yes.
All right.
It wins match of the night.
Yeah.
But was this match better? You know, it could sneak into the bottom end. I don't think it was as good as last year, but it wasn't like I'm only giving it a quarter star off.
What would you have said back in your SNS days if I would have told you, I always want to preface when I say this that I feel that I don't disagree with what you were saying at the time, but the impatience with The Undertaker, when's he going to get out of the way for the younger guys, whatever. If I would have told you that The Undertaker would have a stretch of match of the year candidates at WrestleMania years in front of him, what would you have said to me then, Kyle?
I wouldn't have believed you, because the streaks, again, these things are so indicative of why we did all those WrestleManias in one podcast.
Yeah.
The streak is something that's so them and it's so modern WrestleMania. We're not going to book, Undertaker Kane, for instance, was a long, and some people say long, drawn out storyline.
Yes.
For WrestleMania 14.
Yes.
Okay, the streak was not a selling point of that match, okay?
Right.
At all.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Jim Ross, in passing, might have said, my God, The Undertaker's never lost to WrestleMania, folks.
Right.
Now, the streak is the selling point. It's like, can he win? You know, it's something, again, that once-a-year thing.
Right.
We'll just who cares what The Undertaker's done the other 11 months of the year, and now he doesn't do anything the other 11 months of the year.
Right.
Which is fine. I like it that way.
Right.
I like the way The Undertaker's used now as a complete special attraction, because all he has at this point, because it was different in 06. He was still wrestling regularly.
Right.
All The Undertaker has, the only thing that is remotely interesting about The Undertaker is this streak. I don't want to see him wrestle anymore during the year.
No, I don't either.
I mean, maybe once or twice. If they can come up with, see, here's the thing, and I think most fans agree with this. If you do something the other part of the year, make it meaningful. Make it something, make him, that's when he maybe should come and put over somebody else. But for WrestleMania, I have no problem whatsoever with him wrestling once a year with this streak on the line against some major star.
But here's what I'd like to see. And I think it would throw a nice little addition to it. And since they showed, we're going to be segueing in a second here to the main event with Cena and Rock. But how that had a 12-month build, what I'd like to see with
this essentially did two. They just not as
the
constant.
Yeah, so the seeds were planted. But here's what I'd like to see, and this would throw a welcome change into the way that they do things. What's the template now? Wait till you get to WrestleMania season. Figure out an Undertaker opponent.
Yes.
I'd like to see a random Raw in, like, September. At the end of the match, I don't know, Undertaker comes out, and what it was like gestures, whether Brock Lesnar or somebody, like, oh, my God, that might be his WrestleMania opponent for next year. Plant the seeds for the Undertaker's next match. That's a way to use him in between the 12 months, Kyle. That's
how you do it. There's a lot of different ways you could do it because, unfortunately, there's not a lot of guys left. I mean, they made this the end of an era. There's not a lot of huge stars left.
I've always said, let's Cena end it. That would be massive heat.
Well, and it's interesting, let's transition now.
Okay.
Because that is one of, if you're going to do a John Cena heel turn ever.
Yeah.
That is one of two good ways to do it. Because at this point, they've been so damn stubborn about the whole thing,
right?
That you have to make it special. You
save that one for 30 if they go to Texas.
Yes.
Can you see that in Cowboys Stadium?
Yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing. By the way, I'm going to Cowboys Stadium this fall.
Oh, nice.
Bears Cowboys Monday night. I'm very excited.
Wow.
I have been to Texas one time, but we won't talk about that on air at all. but there are two conceivable opportunities to make a John Cena heel turn, which would be a big deal.
Okay.
To do it right, quote unquote. One would be ending the Undertaker stuff because that would piss a lot of people off.
Yeah.
The other would have been here on this show against The Rock. Let's talk about this match. I thought the match was good. I thought it was at least 3.5 stars at worst. But the big thing is I think creatively, I think they got too smart for themselves.
Horrible.
I'm not going to go horrible.
I'll say horrible. They just crapped on the last 8 years of business.
Yes, but here's the problem,
If you're turning the page on it to a new era, I kind of get that. But they're not turning the page.
Yeah,
it's more of the same.
Yeah, I will admit, and we can talk about this more after we're done analyzing this match, because it certainly makes the fact that he just lost to The Rock and that he should lose to Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
And I'm praying he does. I mean, dear God, please. If they chop Brock Lesnar within 30 days of coming in, this company.
Here's what I'm guessing. Like, Cena hits him with a shovel or something. It'll be some kind of out like that. That's what I'm thinking.
It is. I'm going to tell you something right now. I with wrestling, it's not to be taken serious. Part of the thing with me, I don't take it that seriously.
Right.
But
in a kayfabe sense, that's the only way, or
from
real sense.
In a kayfabe sense, it is inexcusable that Brock Lesnar loses this match. There is no, if
Cena can't take another loss either, though.
Well, then they really booked themselves in a quarter.
They did.
To have a monster heel come out like that and lose, that is stupid.
But if he gets hit in the head with a shovel, that's, you know.
I don't care if they have a jumbo, no, I'm not going to make that joke. But
right.
But, you know, I don't care if they hit him, you know, with a jumbo jet airliner, okay?
Yeah.
It is inexcusable for Brock Lesnar to lose this match.
It's not going to kill the heat if Cena beats him in a cheap way. This is an extreme rules match.
No,
it's
unforgivable. If Brock Lesnar loses, they're stupid.
But Cena can't lose, and he's the one sticking around long term. Shades of when Lesnar left on the last time.
Then I don't know. Then you know what? Have John Cena do a losing streak gimmick. He can't find himself, and he turns heel. That's better than
if
John Cena wins this match, they're stupid. And I'll come on. If they do it some way that I'm not seeing.
I just can't see where he can lose back-to-back.
Brock Lesnar cannot. You're right. He can't lose back-to-back.
No.
But Brock Lesnar can't lose this first match.
This is the epitome of book yourself in
a
corner.
Okay, so let's
talk
about
Brock
this.
Afterwards.
Yeah, let's talk about Rock Cena.
This was horrible.
I'm not going to go horrible because what they did is
this was Swerve-a-mania. Oh, they know the finish. Better change it. Same as with Kane and Orton. Who cares if we know the finish?
Okay, it was not same as Kane and Orton.
Of course it was. No. Oh, my God, they know the finish.
It means
who
a lot
cares?
Different.
I'll say it again.
No, Kane Orton is just who cares, okay? It didn't matter who won, okay?
Okay.
Who
okay.
cares? This has long-lasting effects. Kane Orton, who gives a damn who
right.
won that match?
Right, this has damaging
referee
effects.
Referee Jack Doan could have tombstoned both Kane right. and Randy Orton. It wouldn't have mattered.
This
okay?
is very damaging to their product.
Well, let's see. I'll always give things a chance, but let me tell you something. What they did was, and it's interesting, because basically, I think a large portion of the audience that came back to see, and basically they came with the belief that wrestling was better 8 to 10 years ago.
And the WWE just reinforced that.
And those people wanted that point reiterated. And by God, they got it reiterated, didn't they? Because
yeah, they did.
But here's what's interesting is they built this up as Cena. They did a good job of building Cena into this. To the point where I think, you know, the live crowd wouldn't have accepted it, but I think a lot of people were ready to accept the Cena. I remember going in, I'll be honest with you, I was shocked at this result. And I don't know if they're just rewarding the guy who drew the number or what, but
this was not the plan all along. I'll go to my grave believing that.
I don't know.
They might have changed the finish the day of the show.
Oh,
They've been planning this for a year, and they might have changed the finish the day of the
who
show.
Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I'm not privy to that kind of stuff. But
I'll have to make some phone calls.
But I was shocked by the finish because it did basically reinforce what a large number of, like I said, the Mike Johnsons of the world, again, to bring this guy up. How's he worked a third references? I don't know. He doesn't care about the point you just espoused. Mike Johnson believes, right, and he's right,
okay,
wrestling was better 8 to 10 years ago,
okay,
which it was. Okay.
And which the WWE just said, yeah, it was. And point well taken. You don't need to watch the rest of our shows because The Rock won't be around till the next WrestleMania. So see you next year, folks. That's what they did.
Yes.
This was horrible. This makes, for as much as you raged about it on SNS back in the day, this makes Hulk Hogan over Randy Orton at SummerSlam 06 look sane by comparison.
Disagree.
No.
Because they have it out with The Rock because, look, they booked themselves into another one of these corners.
We'll
talk about, okay, John Cena, and I don't care how many times they've done this and how many times they spin Bizarro World and this and that.
Yeah.
John Cena, and I just don't know if they were just hoping against hope that they could do it, and they realized, maybe to your point, they did change late in the game.
They did.
John Cena could not go over, and we talked about this, as a babyface in front of this crowd. He couldn't.
The crowd wouldn't like it, but, dude, when has the crowd ever liked the John Cena WrestleMania win?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It is so. That's the problem I have with Cena.
Business as usual. Yeah.
Yeah. But business as usual has been dumb. It speaks part of the reason that this. Look, say what you will about Bizarro World, Smart Marks. These people they don't know what the hell they're talking about. I don't give a damn what you want to say about, you know, the mouth breathers, okay?
Yeah.
It does not speak well to your company when your number one babyface, the guy who's supposed to be your number one babyface, is consistently booed out of the building. It looks stupid.
When we get to our next thing, I'm going to address that on Lesnar and where I think they dropped the ball already,
aside from
rushing the match.
It looks stupid.
Right.
And when people say they're like, wow, like, you know, you're like, wow, I've never seen a performer,
right,
who, and once again, this is not, we're not going to go into the when should John Cena have been turned heel, should he have been,
right,
thing. Well, maybe we will in a second, but to have it always happen, and this would have been arguably one of the worst, I think, and to have it, it just looks bad, Ricky,
yeah, but it
to
would
always do it, and you're right, for them to kind of be like, okay, well, you're right. I guess it does look bad. And this was kind of a weird, given The Rock is not around, does not work a full schedule, this is a weird time for them to acknowledge it. But I think the fact that he was in his home, that it would have been real bad that, look, this show did a huge number on pay-per-view, something else we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And it drew a lot of people who don't watch the current product. These people bought this show. And I've heard this argument made, and I can't really disagree with it, although I'm not disagreeing with what you said either. These people bought this show to see The Rock come back and basically show John, you know, here's a little Captain Kayfabe. Show John Cena, show the world that wrestling was better 8 to 10 years ago. Because to pretend that, here's the thing. If John Cena won this match,
yeah.
Does that vindicate the last 8? No.
It kind of does. Pro wrestling is all about image. Pro wrestling, because it is a work, the promotion can put out any type of construct that it wants.
How many people would buy that message? How many people buy that message? How many people do you like? I'm telling you this, Mike John.
Do you ever have a chance of building like, the I'm business telling you this, again Mike, if the people don't believe it?
No, but
nobody
here's what I'm
will
saying.
Believe it.
Here's what I'm saying.
They've gone from 10% to 0%
that'll
believe
Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
The world. You're not convincing him. There is nothing you can do. Could have done that night to convince him that wrestling is better now than it was 10 years ago.
Well, the way that this was supposed to have been built in the beginning was John Cena, through this program, earning the respect of The Rock. It was supposed to be a whole thing of, and at the end of it, The Rock shakes his hand. Okay, all right, you know, you are a worthy representative for this generation. That is originally
but here's
where
the problem.
Thought it was
See,
going.
You're thinking in the... You're
good,
thinking,
good for business sense. Imagine that.
Well, I know, Ricky, but you're. I'm not saying majority rules all the time, but the people don't care about that, and maybe they're wrong, but they just this live crowd and the people who bought this show don't give. They would not have. They would not have. Okay, you always talk
ramifications
about,
go far beyond one
you,
night,
you
Kyle.
Always, I know, but you always talk about these people are being brainwashed. This
yes,
thing. John Cena winning that match would have brainwashed no one. It would have done nothing.
It would have.
No, it wouldn't have. You're wrong.
Would have elevated him a little bit in the eyes of people who aren't.
I think it would have just pissed people off. I think it would have just pissed people off. I think people have been like, really? John Cena stinks. He's not as good as The Rock, and
well,
I don't care.
And I'm going to say
because
another
John
thing
Cena
here, too.
Is not he's not as bad as his critics make him out to be,
mm-hmm.
but he's not as good as the company makes him out to be. Did not give – unless if – I don't know, something could have happened if they had some sort of spot or could have done something. You could tell they were going home.
Yeah.
I didn't believe that John Cena was as good as The Rock.
No one did. No.
There was no, like, had Cena won, it would not have done what you're thinking very in the academic, traditional sense, and I'm not disagreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in this situation, let's look at this match in a vacuum. Let's throw out principles.
Yeah.
Let's throw out idealism. Let's throw out all that paraphernalia.
But I'm thinking business, too.
I know you are. Let's throw that out.
Okay.
Is what I'm saying.
All right.
In this situation,
yeah,
no one would have bought Cena as being elevated by winning. They just would have been pissed off.
I think you're overthinking it. I really
think
you're
overthinking it.
I think you are. People would have rolled with it eventually.
I disagree completely.
I think had The Rock positioned it in terms of the newfound respect for John Cena. I thought that's where they were going at the outset with this thing.
Yeah, and they did. And what happened that night? Remember when Cena's like, you know what? The crowd booed him for doing it. I think you're thinking too
idealistically. They were never committed to using The Rock to give Cena a positive rub. They were never committed.
Because the crowd didn't want. This is what I'm saying is, again, it's so bizarre that they actually this was the time they listened to the fans. The crowd did not want him to give him the rub. The crowd did not want The Rock to be nice to John Cena. This crowd.
You got a book for the people that are around all year, not just the marks that come in for once a year.
I'm saying that you're wrong. Saying that it would not have looked good. I mean, it would not have looked good for John Cena to win this.
It's less damaging than this big steaming turd of a legacy for this show, which is that the last 8 years don't matter. And that the only thing that matters is the Attitude Era.
I think you're not giving the show the respect. The show did a monster number.
It did a monster number.
And here's the $20 million question.
Yeah.
If John Cena wins this match, would the next 11 months be better?
I think there's a good chance of that.
I don't necessarily think they would be.
And it would have been.
Because they have set up such a culture where it will take a. Now, there is one way that I would support John Cena going over here.
Yeah.
By turning heel.
Okay.
Remember I talked about him beating The Undertaker was one way?
Right.
This would have been the other. John Cena kind of throwing everything he can at the book and realize, you know, kind of the Austin Rock thing.
Right.
But again, understanding where you're at.
Right.
You know, because that night they didn't understand where they were at.
Right.
It was a stupid place to turn Steve Austin heel.
Right.
Okay. This was kind of, I don't know if it's the opposite or the inverse. I always get those terms confused. This would have been the perfect time. The booking they did of Austin Rock that night, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Had they taken that booking and put it here?
Yeah.
Right place, right time.
Yeah, in terms of a heel turn. Because I'm going to say this, though. And
John's, I'm telling you that I don't think, I just think that it's one of those things that I don't think you can convince, because first of all, it's not true. John Cena's not as good as The Rock.
No.
He's not.
And I'm not even a fan of the Cena character. It's too hokey for me.
And here's the thing.
But this is where we're at. I'm arguing realpolitik.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, wrestling is a lot about perception, and
yes,
it certainly did not help John Cena the way they booked him at all.
Right.
But I think they looked at it. Here's the thing. If we're the WWE booker, you've got two options, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm going to give them some credit and realize that they understand. They had some understanding of what a Rock win means, is kind of some of the points you're saying. Okay, well, all right, guys, we got two options here. Because here's the thing. They've thrown out the John Cena heel turn. All right, we're sitting at, it's off the table. We're not turning John Cena heel.
Yep.
All right, creative people, we're not turning that. That's not an option. Don't bring it up. We're not doing that.
Yep.
Okay. So if I'm a creative guy, I have two options. All right, Rock wins. What does that mean? Well, it kind of means some of the things you're saying. That it basically vindicates all the people who are buying the show that think wrestling was better 10 years ago. It vindicates them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Or we have John Cena win here. And we don't give in to that vindication. But does the benefits of a Cena win outweigh how bad it will look in a vacuum with John Cena, by God, is leading this? Because here's the thing, okay? What do you do? By God, folks, John Cena is leading the WWF into a new generation. And meanwhile, the entire live crowd is booing. That looks terrible.
You know what?
It looks terrible. Here, folks, because, again, you're...
30 seconds of that versus anytime you show it from then on in, you do what you're doing with Daniel Bryan and the Yes Chance, and you pipe in what you want to pipe in. You're underestimating the machine.
I think it's so funny that you're like you're rooting for the machine, given what we've talked
about.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay?
Yeah,
to me,
I flipped my jib on
the
this.
Machine. Yeah, you did, didn't you? The machine can only go so far, Ricky. Here's what.
But
you
I'm
have
just saying,
understand.
This is where we're at. I'm not the Cena character.
Yes, I know. And here's the problem. Okay, I'm not disagreeing that in the technical, in the idealistic sense that in the like the ABCs of it. I always talk about the principles of wrestling. You shouldn't violate them.
Right.
And I'm contradicting myself here.
You are.
Okay.
Actually, yeah.
Look, the common sense dictates the guy who's staying beats the guy who's not going to be around.
Right.
I'm not disputing that. But I'm saying it would have, in this situation, the way they painted themselves into a corner, it would have looked so bad that I don't think the positives of Cena winning would have outweighed the... I don't think the... At this point... Because
mm-hmm.
Cena's a made guy anyway, and I think people understand that he's going to be around.
Right.
I think that's the whole thing.
Right.
Like, okay, look, John Cena's going to be around, and, you know, what can you do? Okay, he's going to be around. We're going to have our number of babyface. People just accept that. But you know what? You will never convince enough people to believe that John Cena's better than The Rock. Now, does that mean you shouldn't have tried? No. But I just, on that stage, it would have looked bad, and I think you would. Here's the thing, because you already know The Rock's working WrestleMania again next year,
right?
What do you? I mean, if The Rock loses there, I mean, what do you do with him? I guess for your next, because look, The Rock is going to be featured at the next WrestleMania.
Well, then it comes to look. I want to prove myself. I want to whatever. This was my chance to get back on the stage. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to walk away until I can redeem what happened.
Well, again,
here.
You're thinking idealistically. He's not going to stay around.
No. But I mean, you know, next year at WrestleMania on this stage,
what's he going
to? I'm going to get redemption.
Well, wouldn't he want to
wrestle
again?
I'm
going to
win on the big
then?
Stage.
So what's he going to do? Win the second match?
Or somebody worthy of that. Here's my biggest problem. And this is the if Vince McMahon were sitting at the table here, he would say, Rick, I can never please you. I can never. And I would say, no, I just honestly think you've been wrong in all these things that you've done. Super Cena was horrible. Cena shouldn't have gone over at SummerSlam 10, the whole thing with the Nexus. Super Cena and the invincibility was bad. But then I applaud, in theory, the fact that he's getting to more of a give-back position on the card to where it's a little more parity with other top guys. But under the circumstances, it wasn't right for him to go down to Miz last year at WrestleMania the way that was booked. And this loss wasn't right either. Super Cena won when he should have lost a lot of times. And this new Cena, I applaud the extra vulnerability, but the vulnerability is showing up in all the wrong places.
Well, it's indicative of the era we're in. They did all the right things in the Rock's era, and now they typically do all the wrong things. So
they need to be like George Costanza. Whatever their instinct is for booking Cena, just go the other way.
But here's the problem. Again, there is never, it all boils, the whole booking of Cena is so bizarre in that here's a guy that they just pretend is this huge baby face and he consistently gets booed.
Right.
Okay, I mean, badly booed. If any other baby face in history, the only other big time baby face I can ever think of that got booed and they tried to just ignore it.
Hogan 94.
Was early WCW, and guess what they did with him? He did a massive heel turn. And, you know, Eric Bischoff, you know, well, not Bischoff, but Hogan acts like it was, you know, we just decided, you know, my brand was getting old and we're going to turn Hulk Hogan heel. No, you bald idiot. Okay? All right? The people hated you. And it worked so well because that was a crew, that was a crowd that grew up on Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Magnum TA, the Road Warriors. They watched
Ronnie Garvin.
Yes.
I've got to slip that in there, of course.
Yeah.
Hands of stone, baby.
Yeah, hands of stone is right, okay? Yeah, personality of stone. But listen,
he was a draw.
Okay. Yeah, Starrcade 87 begs otherwise. But that works so well because there was working. And the Cena thing, it's just like, it's so bizarre because it's just like, as a wrestling fan, it's just like, I used to be, but you talk about the old SNS days, I was like, I remember saying after many pay-per-views, they got to turn this guy heel.
Yeah.
The crowd does not like him. They are not accepting him as the number one babyface. They got to turn him heel.
6 years later, look at where we are.
We're in the same spot, and it's almost like it's to the point now where it's like, okay, well, if you do it, you better damn well make it mean a lot. You just can't. Back then, I would have been like, look, but, like, it was just, like, I remember that he was getting booed at pay-per-views like Unforgiven 06 against Kurt Angle. Okay?
Right.
And I was like, oh, dear God, he's got to come out tomorrow night and turn heel on
these
people.
They're doing everything but having Kurt Angle burn a flag on camera, and the crowd is just not buying it.
Yes. And it's like, oh, God, they've got to turn him heel tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Okay? Now it's to the point where it's like, I'm so numb to it, it's like, okay, you better, if you're going to do this now, you better do it. You know, again, in a major, major way.
Right.
And this could have been one of them. They didn't do it. And I'll say this, now to your point, okay, and as we transition away from WrestleMania 28, let's talk about the fallout.
Okay.
Right? We're going to talk about the fallout here?
Well, we'll be talking about the fallout here in our next mini episode.
I look forward
to doing
that.
So, yeah, we'll do that then.